Hey, Bill. It's
Hi.
Jake Frankel here at the Mountain Express in Asheville,
How you
North
doing?
Carolina. How are you doing?
Good.
Well, good. We're real excited. You're going to be coming here on April 22nd.
Yes, me too.
What's bringing you to Asheville, of all places?
I go where the crowd is.
Have you ever been here before?
I have never been to this specific venue, no. So I'm very excited. I've been recently. I think I've been to the Carolinas more than I ever have before. I know I was in Greensboro, I think, last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm going again. But Asheville is new to me, no.
Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with the town at all? Have you heard anything about it?
No. What can you tell me?
Well, Billy Graham lives right down the road.
You're kidding.
I thought you might want to squeeze in a visit.
That's funny, because I have a reference to him in my act.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Of course, I don't know if you're familiar with him. Heath Shuler is our congressman.
I know who he is.
Yeah.
Former NFLer?
Yeah, yep.
Very conservative Democrat?
Yeah, he took on Nancy Pelosi for minority leader, so.
Right.
I don't know. Might want to think about getting in touch with him as well.
Yes. Good tip.
Or do you feel sometimes when you come in the South like you're kind of veering into enemy territory? Or?
Well, I mean, I try not to think of any place in America as the enemy. But if you're asking if I'm going to a place where the majority of people probably don't agree with me politically, that's so true. And that's so what makes it more fun for me and the audience, because you know, I think what the conservatives might not realize is that living amongst them are always thousands and thousands of free-thinking, progressive people, and I think it's a treat for me to play to them, and they, I think, find it gratifying that somebody who thinks like them came to where they live, where most people don't think that way, and did not write them off. And say, oh, I'm not going to go to the red states. I love the red states.
Mm-hmm. Well, North Carolina, of course, is a blue state now recently.
Well, I
just
still think of it the red state.
Huh? Just saying.
I know.
You're probably not, it's probably a stretch, but I just wanted to shoot in the dark here. You're not familiar with Cecil Bothwell at all, are you? He was a city councilman elected in Asheville, and he generated a lot of national controversy in 2009 because he's an atheist, and according to North Carolina's constitution, it bars politicians who deny the existence of God.
You're kidding.
No. So.
What is his name?
Cecil Bothwell.
I'm writing this down. How do you spell Bothwell?
It's Bothwell.
And, oh, Bothwell. So that would be a good local story to pick up on.
Do you do that at all? Do you incorporate?
I always like to start the show with something local. Yes.
Uh-huh.
There's always something. I mean, you know, the person who picks you up at the airport usually, if all else fails, has something that's going on.
Mm-hmm. Do you? I know your show integrates, you know, of course, as up to the minute current events as you can. How do you do that with your? With your stand-up comedy show, are you kind of changing the act the day of the show to integrate the current events of that day, or is it kind of more of a set?
Yes, I mean, I you know, as anyone who's seen me work in the last, oh Christ, it's probably 15 years now, I work with a little cheat sheet on a music stand, I find this is the best way to serve the audience, which, after all, wants to see me bring forth to them, you know, the best, funniest ideas I have. And, to, you know, I feel obligated to give them, you know, 90 minutes to 2 hours of jam-packed, you know, great jokes on every subject that is important. And so to try to do that, you know, and get it all into your head. I don't know who has a memory like that. I sure don't anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's sort of like a, you know, it's just bullet points. But it allows me to do so much of a better act. I was just reading the review. I was in Dallas Sunday, and the headline was fantastic. It was like, you know, Dallas loves Bill Maher, and Bill Maher a hit from top to bottom. But as I go through the article, I realize that the guy who's writing it, first of all, he had an axe to grind because he must have been religious, because he said, you know, when he got to the religious part of the show, it fell flat. Well, of course, it did not fall flat, as always. It was at least as popular as the rest of the show. But okay, you know, people see what they want to see. But he said something that really bothered me about, Bill Maher seemed to be cycling through material to see what worked. Well, nothing could be farther from the truth. You know, I am not cycling through material to see what worked. Everything works because I know it's going to work. And I'm not one of those comedians who stands on the stage and goes, okay, what else? What else? What else? Let's see. I know what else. You know, I come loaded for bear. That's my respect to the audience. And yes, they want to see me deliver on everything that's up to date. They don't want to. They don't want a show that's a year old. I don't even come to a town unless I have a completely new act from the last time I was there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, I was in Raleigh on February of 2010 to do a HBO special. None of that's going to be in the show I do in April of this year.
Mm-hmm. Why? You're a busy guy. You have all kinds of things going on. Why are you putting your time and energy into a stand-up tour right now?
First of all, it's not really a tour. I mean, it's something I'm always doing.
Okay.
But, you know, the way I do it, I do, you know, a couple of dates and go home. So, you know, it's not like I'm, you know, worn out because I'm on the road for 3 weeks straight. And the reason I do it is, one, because it's fun. It's fun for me and it's fun for the audience. It's something I started doing 30 years ago. Stand-up comedy is something that takes a long time to get right. So for me, it's sort of redemption for all those years when it was sort of a painful thing to be, you know, working in nightclubs and, you know, when you're not well known, the audience may be with you and may not be, because you're just generic comedy, and maybe they like your brand of comedy and maybe they want Gallagher. So it's nice when you finally get to the place where you know what you do, they know what you do, and we're all on the same page right from the beginning of the show. But the main reason is because it's too important to the television show I do. It's important to get out into the country. Otherwise, you're just, you know, sitting in an ivory tower in Los Angeles, which is not indicative of the rest of America, and you're driving from your house to the studio, and you're, you know, what, reading the news on the internet and newspapers, and, I mean, that's all important, but it would be a very different show if I didn't go out into the country, you know, see what people are laughing at. You know, there's a lot of information in laughter. And, you know, when you're in a city, you talk to people. You talk to the person who picks you up at the airport and the person in the hotel lobby and the bar or whatever. And you just get a feel that's different from staying home.
Mm-hmm. Would you say you're kind of doing it just for the laughs, or are you trying to promote a set of policies or ideals or beliefs, or
no? I mean, I'm not trying to promote beliefs. I mean, I'm glad if people pick up on it. I don't really believe that entertainers ever change elections or the way people vote, essentially. I mean, you know, mostly the people who come out to see me are the people who agree mostly with what I have to say. And I say mostly, not all. I mean, there's obviously things that I talk about that, I mean, I see it on my show here, that liberals are not on the page with. But mostly that's who I'm talking to, is a progressive audience. Religion is the one area where I have seen people say, you know, yes, you changed the way I think about that, because it's sort of a unique area, and there was a documentary I made about it, and that reached a lot of people. But I mean, politically, you know, I think people mostly in this country now want to hear the people who they already agree with, you know, the people who get up with Matt Drudge and listen to Glenn Beck and Bill O'Reilly. They don't want to hear the liberal bullshit. They want to hear the guy tell them what they already think they know.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that there's, in kind of hard economic times and with, you know, so many world events kind of crazy right now with Japan, the Middle East, do you think there's almost like an added value to humor, almost like a therapeutic need for people to laugh now more than in better times?
I think there always is. I mean, I think people always want to laugh. It's always a release. And the more dire things are, you're right, it's a very nervous time. It's an exciting time in a way, too, especially in the Middle East. You know, things could be changing. But we also could be getting ourselves into a third fucking quagmire. And there's a reason why people seek out this kind of entertainment. It's because if you're, you know, the kind of person who follows things at all, yeah, you kind of want to laugh it off a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And then also the same could be said for you. Is that part of why you're out there doing this? I mean, is it part of the way you process the world and deal with, you know, the stress or the nervousness or the craziness?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think when you're a comedian, you know, you just are born to make jokes. You know, that's how you see the world, is like what doesn't fit. I mean, mostly a joke is what doesn't make sense. You're pointing out you know, you're looking at a pattern and seeing what sort of doesn't fit in there. But I think it's a coping mechanism more than anything else. I think that's what humor is. It's sort of like, you know, you can't survive, they say, without dreaming. You know, you're when you're unconscious, your mind has to sort of rearrange the furniture in a way that allows you to cope when you wake up. And I think humor is similar in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any plans coming up, either related to the presidential cycle getting in gear or anything else? I mean, I know you're going to be continuing with the show, I hope.
Anything else? We're definitely on this year and next year, and more shows than we've ever had. You know, we used to have to take a big, long break from the end of the spring until, like, I don't know, September. But we don't have that anymore. I think we're on except we get a nice break in the month of August, maybe. And then, of course, another one in December. But HBO really did right by us with this latest contract for, you know, we'll be on, like I say, most of this year and all of next year, which, of course, is a presidential mm-hmm. election year. Mm-hmm. We created a fake candidate on the show last week who was the exact opposite of Obama. His name is spelled backwards, so it's Barack Karab Amabo, and I am hoping that we can get Karab, gets a groundswell of support for Karab Amabo, who of course is the Republican candidate who, like so many of the other ones, just always says the exact opposite of whatever Obama is for, he's against, and whatever Obama's against, he's for. So I'm hoping that we can sort of launch Karab Amabo as a viable Republican candidate. That's my dream for 2012.
Now, can you prove that he has a birth certificate, though? Was he born in the United States?
That's the thing. Karab Amabo carries one form of ID and one form only at all times, and that is his original birth certificate, because he is always the opposite of Obama.
Right. What you mentioned, you had a bit on Billy Graham. Care to give us a preview?
Well, there's a section in my show where I do talk about religion. I do it near the end in case, you know, people, it's the subject that is most touchy to people, and I want them to feel like, even if they don't want to sit through that, they've already seen a good show, they've seen enough, you know. But I ask a few very basic questions about religion, because I think that's the right approach, is just ask the questions, let people answer for themselves. One of them is, for example, why is faith good? Just tell me why the suspension of critical thinking is a good thing. And another one of them is, and it's a question I could ask almost any religious person when they say almost anything, and that is, how do you know this? How do you know this? And one example I give is Billy Graham said after 9/11 that the people who died that day, where they went is so glorious, they wouldn't want to come back. Mm-hmm. How do you know this? Just, you know. And if you really believe it, why don't you hang yourself tomorrow? You know, that. So, you know, I'm just trying to ask questions. But I got to jump off, Jake.
Okay. Bill, thanks for taking time to speak
My
with
pleasure.
Me. I'm really looking forward to seeing you here.
Yeah, me too. Thank you.
Bye.